Mr. Thomas, welcome to the Arizona Board of Executive Commissioners this morning, and the Honorable Mr. Louis Kiwanis will be conducting your hearing, sir. So just hang on to the phone, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Thomas?
Yes?
Can you hear me clearly?
Yes, I can hear you clearly.
Sir, can you state your full name and ABC number for the record?
My full name is Emmanuel Dwayne Thomas. My DOC number is 081033.
Thank you, sir. You are appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a 31412A hearing to consider regular parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing with you today. If you can see it on your video conference screen, I'll begin with the opposite side of the bench working toward me. We have the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. At the center of the bench, we have our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright. Next to me is the Honorable Mr. David Needle. And my name is Louis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel lead for this hearing.
Thank you. How y'all doing this morning?
Very good. Thank you, sir. I will begin your hearing with a summary. Mr. Emmanuel Thomas, ABC number 081033, is 49 years old. The crimes of reckless manslaughter committed while on parole, 2 counts. An aggravated assault committed while on parole occurred on or about October 2nd, 1992. He was approximately 23 years old at the time of the incident offenses. He was found guilty by jury trial on April 20th, 1994 and sentenced to 25 years to life imprisonment on May 20th, 1994. He has a significant criminal history, including arrests for aggravated assault, misconduct involving a weapon, theft, armed robbery, larceny, and felony convictions for theft and resisting arrest, for which he was on parole when sentenced to this prison term. I will read a summary of the offenses in question. On October 2nd, 1992, an altercation occurred between the victims and Mr. Thomas's cousin, Ryan Martin, outside of a Jack in the Box restaurant in Phoenix. The cause of this altercation was gang-related. And again, I'm going by a summary from the Maricopa County Attorney's Office. The victims were severely beating Ryan Martin when Mr. Thomas exited the restaurant with a semi-automatic handgun. Mr. Thomas fired multiple warning shots in the air, which caused the victims to immediately flee. As the victims were running away, Mr. Thomas lowered his gun and fired multiple shots at the victims until his gun jammed. Freddy Cantu and Felipe Ramos were shot and killed, and Anthony Gamboa was shot and survived. Mr. Thomas was arrested, charged, and convicted of the offenses detailed above. According to Mr. Thomas's institutional progress report, he's had moderate programming in the Arizona Department of Corrections. He has a release plan, which includes living with a sponsor and pursuing work as a skilled meat cutter. He's had discipline in ADC from 1991 through 2015, with a string of majors in 2015 for possession of drugs and assault on staff. But it should be noted that he has not had a ticket in approximately 3.5 years. Is that correct, Mr. Thomas?
Yes. Yes, sir. 4 years, I
think. Thank you. This is his first hearing before the board. I did not find any letters of support in his parole request packet. We do have a letter dated February 20, 2019 from the Maricopa County Attorney's Office, which opposes parole. Mr. Thomas, this is your first hearing. chance for the board to get to know you. Can you tell us, in your own words, about the offense that resulted in your incarceration and why you think you should be considered for supervised release? Thank you, Mr. Thomas.
Well, taking responsibility for my actions, you know, the choices I have made then, I would never in a million years make today. I take full responsibility for my actions. Not for myself, but for all parties involved. This was a life-changing event that occurred, and I would never put myself in a position to where I would have to relive anything even close to being hostile. By all means, I'm not a violent person, and my past action doesn't represent the person I am today. Yes, I made a mistake that caused me to come to prison that I'm deeply remorseful for, and I ask for forgiveness from God, the family of the victims, as well as the parole board members. This has truly been a humbling experience that I wish not to relive. From this day forward, I would like to make amends for what I've done and be more considerate of the actions and choices I make in the future. And why I feel that I should be released? Why should I be released? I am not the same person. That was 27 years ago. I was a kid making kid choices. I've missed out on watching and raising my children. I'm now a grandfather, and I would love to be a part of my grandchildren's lives. I take full responsibility for my actions. I've learned to always consider my ways. And if given a second chance, I would take full advantage of life and all that I've missed out on. I also have a very sick dad out there. Sugar diabetes has took his eyesight partly. He lives in the home my mother left in my name when she passed in her will. I have to take responsibility for him, the bills, and take care of my home. I now co-own and help my grandchildren the best I can.
Thank you, sir. That was a very good summary. I'd like to ask you a few questions, and along the way, I think there may be some questions from my fellow board members. One thing you mentioned, and I'm certainly not trying to get in any sort of argument with you. I appreciate how you have began this hearing, but you stated that you're not violent, and it seems that you had a history that included aggravated assault, misconduct involving a weapon, and robbery, and resisting arrest, which could all be categorized as violent crimes. So what do you mean when you say that you did not have a violent history or your crimes weren't violent?
On that charge right there with the aggravated assault, that I was just walking through a neighborhood and a police jumped out and he hit me with his baton, didn't even say he was a police, but that was dismissed when I was a juvenile. You know, I haven't had any other prior being violent in my life. I did not do nothing to him. The judge dismissed that in juvenile.
I appreciate that. And also there was an armed robbery charge. What happened there?
An armed robbery charge?
Yes, sir.
I don't remember no armed robbery in my background or anything. I have not armed robbed anybody.
Okay.
Or convicted of that.
Well, thank you for accounting for that. How about resisting arrest?
was young, I was a kid, I did an unlawful flight, I was riding around in a car and joyriding, and besides pulling over, I just went to my house and then let them know that the car wasn't mine, that I was driving without a license, and they said that was the only resisting arrest.
Okay, sir, just one second. There's two notations here. One is that according to the Maricopa County Attorney's Office, they stated that this was gang related. So were you involved in a gang when you were young?
I made a few bad choices when I was young, when I was a kid. But the crime, my lawyer in the courtroom that stated that this wasn't a gang related offense. And the county attorney said it too, but I didn't know that was in record. I had been looking through my cases since I've been preparing myself for this hearing, and I didn't ever come across that.
Well, sir, keep in mind, just because that's noted by the Maricopa County Attorney's Office or in Ames, does not mean that, I'll only speak for myself as one voting board member, that is not going to be some singular difference as to why I consider someone for supervised release. It's more to understand who you were when you were young, and where you have a right now in your rehabilitation. But there's also some notation in Ames of STG involvement. So again, without putting you in some sort of without creating problems for you inside the system, did you have some involvement with prison politics inside the Department of Corrections?
No, from day one, I have never joined any prison gang or been political or anything like that. I've been helping the youth in here, you know, getting them out of gangs and stuff and preparing them, trying to prepare them to go on, but I have never been political my whole life being in prison.
Okay.
Or FTG.
Were you involved in street gangs at all when you were young in Phoenix?
Yes, when I was young.
Was there a particular gang?
Carver Park.
Okay.
Over there on the...
We have some notes about your plans that I'd like to follow up with, and this is positive stuff. One, I think you made reference to a sponsor. Is there someone that should this board see fit to grant supervised release? Who would you be living with, or what's your living plan?
I would be living with Monica Mims. That is my support system. I have a very strong support system to help me stay focused on accomplishing the goals I have set myself as well as my family. I am a co-owner, so I do have a solid foundation to be released to.
And is your sponsor a wife, a girlfriend, a family member?
She's my friend, but she's going to become my wife when I be released.
Okay.
We're planning on being married.
Okay.
After all this time.
So it's good to hear that people have support and stabilizing influences in the community. You mentioned that you have some children, correct?
Yes.
How many children do you have?
I have two.
And how old are they now?
I have two sons. One is barely turning 26 of this year, and one is 27.
Well, again, this hearing is not to scrutinize family, but how are they doing? Are they part of your support?
Well, my son Emmanuel Thomas Jr., he is part of my support team out there helping me. My oldest son, he lives in Las Vegas, and I have not seen or heard from him since I've been locked up.
Understood. And the younger son, does he live in Phoenix?
Yes, he lives in Mesa.
Oh, Mesa. And is he one of the possibilities of where you might live when you come out?
Yes. Is she there at the hearing?
No, she's not. And that was going to be my next question. We do recognize that based on notifications, sometimes people don't have...
She said she didn't get a chance to get off where she was going to try to take off. So maybe she had to work. They didn't let her off of her job to come.
I meant to ask you, is there any reason why you did not have any support in the hearing room today? So you said that I'll just say your girlfriend, is that okay to say that?
Yeah, Monica Mims.
Okay, so that your girlfriend is working today?
Yes. And my son, they both have jobs.
Where are they working, sir?
My son works at the airport in the baggage claim, and Monica works in working for insurance. She's a secretary for a firm.
Well, again, that's really good to hear. It's good to hear that you have really good support in the community. And I'll just call her by her first name because I think I'm not getting used to her last name. But does Monica live in Phoenix or does she live in one of the suburbs?
She lives in Mesa.
Okay.
Off of 33rd Place in Mesa, Arizona.
And I ask that, again, we're delicate, but with respect, it is good to hear that people's influence is away from where they were in the beginning. We find many times that people really do need to remove themselves from old influences when they return to the community, as they can sort of slide back into the old lifestyle. But it is, it's good to hear that you have support in different areas in the city.
Yeah, because I used to live on 19th Avenue at first, and then I moved to 20th and Wolf. But Monica, since we've been together, she had moved and just bought her home in Mesa. So that's where I will be staying in Mesa.
Well, that sounds very promising. Thank you, Mr. Thomas. Just a quick second here. It stated that you had some skills as a meat cutter, is that correct?
Yes, I went to... Arizona Community College off of 48th Street, and I did that for a year, and then while I was going to school, I was working as an inspector at Arizona Plating and Anodizing off of Central and Grand, but I was going to be a meat cutter to be, get skilled, and I was working in slaughterhouses off of 99th Avenue.
And this was before you were... arrested, sir?
Before I got arrested. Yes, before I got arrested.
Have you been able to work at all inside the kitchen or continue any of these skills since you've been inside the Department of Corrections?
Yes, for 10 years when I first came down, I worked in the kitchens in here. But for the last 15 years, I've practiced and worked in cosmetology. Although I'm not licensed, but on release, I plan on going to school to be a skilled and licensed cosmetologist. Brady is my passion now. There is a lot of money in doing and taking care of the hair and the business of it until I, find a permanent job or a full-time job on the street. I'll be going back to school to try to better myself.
I got to tell you, Mr. Thomas, it's always comforting to hear that people have skills when they return to the community. And on top of that, skills where there's work available. So that sounds like a good plan. We didn't see any letters of support. Did you ask any family members or friends to write letters for you?
Yes, I did. I asked my whole family to write them. But when they, I thought I was going in July of 25th.
Oh, I see.
They moved my date up. They moved my date up until February. And I tried to call them and write them. The ones I could call, I called. The ones that I wrote, you know, I don't know. I haven't heard from them yet. I thought they would have been sent letters. I think my son sent a support letter.
Well, Mr. Thomas, thank you for pointing that out, because I usually put that in my introduction when someone is up for parole the first time. But according to DOC, you're not technically eligible for parole until July of 2019. But it's been our experience that people are usually given their first opportunity to appear before the board around 6 months before that first eligibility date. So regardless of how this board votes today, you're still on that same schedule, that parole eligibility would not be till July of 2019. I guess my last question before I ask fellow board members if they want to speak to you is that you had a string of majors in 2015 and then no discipline for the last 3.5 years. So what happened in 2015 and what changed?
Look, after my mother and my grandmother passed in 2001, the same year, I had a very hard time coping. I'm not a violent person, so I thought the best way to deal with it was using at the time. But instead, I did nothing but hurt myself. Since then, I've devoted myself to walking with God. I am a true believer in Jesus Christ as a son. And and I have been clean all of substance abuse. What happened that day, that, like I said, I was using, and I was in my area throwing up. I was trying to make it to the restroom, but I couldn't get up. And then when they asked me, did I want medical attention, I had passed out. And by the time they said they threw me on the gurney, my right leg hit one officer, my left leg hit another officer. I threw up on the nurse when she hit me with a narc shot. And I didn't know all this had took place until I had woke up in the medical, you know, butt naked in the apron. They had me in the room like, you know, like I was committing suicide or something, I don't know. And then they said I was out there. I told them I don't remember that, but I take responsibility. I take the time that is given. I didn't even fight that. But in the ticket, no officers were injured on my ticket that I have right here today.
Well, let me say several things, Mr. Thomas. First of all, I'm glad that, that you didn't overdose to the point of losing your life. And I am impressed that you seem to have put that behind you. What drugs were you using at the time?
Just spice.
Spice?
Yeah, spice.
You didn't, did you get involved in heroin and methamphetamines and all that stuff's available?
No heroin or nothing like that, no pills or nothing, just spice.
Was the spice spiked or something? It sounds like there was a pretty violent reaction to spice.
Yeah, it must have had a bad effect on my system, and my first time trying it at that time, and I just was throwing up, and then I lost consciousness.
And so for the last at least 3.5 years, you've been able to stay ticket-free?
Yes, I have no further disciplinary or nothing like that. That's why I knew my trouble was when I was in Steiner, and That's right after my mom and dad passed, and then I changed my ways and stuff, you know, because all I was doing was getting myself in trouble and keeping myself from being free. So I just, you know, I really never had disciplinary until that time. So, I mean, not a whole lot of disciplinary until that time.
Well, it does seem like that there was a lot in 2015. Just one second, sir, because I'm just going to flip through names. These packets can get a little thick. Between 2011 and 2015, and then this string right here. Two for drug possession, assault on staff, assault on staff, assault on staff. So there was four assault on staff. I think it was six. But it did seem pretty quiet for a good run there, so I am inclined to believe that you were calming down, if you will, before that. And it looks like that you've stayed clean since then, and I think that that's very commendable. At this point, I'm going to ask some fellow board members if they have any questions, please. And more questions from fellow board members. Mr. Thomas, we're getting very close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We only ask that you don't repeat anything that you've already told us. This is your hearing, so is there anything else that you feel is important for us to know or understand before this board deliberates and votes on this case?
No. I feel that since I've been locked up, you know, I have changed my ways. I'm not the same person that I was 27 years ago. I'm taking responsibility for my actions, and I hope that I make better choices in the future with my actions. And that's the only thing that I have to say, that I have a strong support system to go home to, and they're there for me. Sorry that they wasn't able to appear today in court. I didn't know, you know, I talked with them and they said they had to work, but they were trying to take off. And that's all I would have to say to the board members.
Well, thank you, Mr. Thomas, and thank you for being so direct. I think we had a good discussion. The board will be going into discussion now, though, and it may sound like that we're speaking with you directly, but it's the board discussing the case amongst itself under the open meeting laws of Arizona. So what we ask is that you just stay on the phone, listen to our discussion. You will be able to intervene at that point, and we will return to you with our decision shortly. Okay, sir?
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Thomas. The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, I do believe that this was a very productive discussion with Mr. Thomas, and I think that we received a good status of where he is at in his rehabilitation and reform inside the Department of Corrections. And I certainly like many of the things that I heard from him, in particular that he's worked on a couple of different skill sets that he has seemed to have made a decision to behave well inside the Department of Corrections and has not had a ticket in 2.5 years. I think what is that issue for me is that he's pretty early in his eligibility for parole cycle. He's inside the Department of Corrections for a pretty serious crime, to be sure. I recognize that ultimately it was designated as manslaughter inside the Department of Corrections, but lives were lost. I remember that time in Phoenix. It was pretty violent out in the street, out in the streets, with a lot of the local gangs. But I do see promise in Mr. Thomas. I think that he shows potential. I think this is an individual I really want to give encouragement to, but also stay realistic that we'd like to take a good, hard look at individuals before we consider whether they're ready to return to the community. So with his having had majors within the last 5 years, I certainly think he's on a good trajectory, but I am not finding him a candidate at this point in time for regular parole or home arrest, but that's where I'll begin the discussion. Yes, the other one is Gilbert House.
Thank you, Mr. Quinones. I agree with you. I think Mr. Thomas is definitely starting down the right path. What just troubles me a little bit is just that we don't have any letters from supporters. And I believe he has supporters. I think he does. But it'd be good to have a little more solid release plan for Mr. Thomas. So I would not be in favor at this time.
Thank you, Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse, and I also want to thank you for catching that, because just as I was handing over the reins, so to speak, I was thinking there was something else I wanted to say, and it was that he didn't have a lot of support with us today. And certainly that's not a standalone reason, but it does give the board a certain amount of confidence, seeing that support in the community and hearing from them as well. So I agree with you. Any further input from my colleagues? Okay, then I'm going to go ahead and make a motion, and that is regarding Mr. Emmanuel Thomas, ADC number 081033. My motion is to deny regular parole, absolute discharge, and home arrest. And based on the other crime, I am going to ask for him to be set off as it is early in his parole cycle. And I would at least like to see some further development. I'm getting tongue twisted today. Some further development, and that is my motion.
Second.
Agree. Seconded by the Honorable Mr. Neal, agreed upon by the Honorable Mr. Dr. Wright, the Honorable Mr. Johnson, the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. As for when they set off, release type denied is 4404-LHA, which is to say regular parole, absolute discharge, and home arrest. Reasons for denial are as follows, and that is a serious and violent offense, loss of human life, trauma to victim, serious bodily injury, as there is a shooting victim who survived, multiple victims, violation of previous parole, history of substance abuse, and I know that he is showing efforts to clean up inside the Department of Corrections, but I do recognize it's been within the last 5 years. History of assaultive behavior inside the Department of Corrections, prior criminal history, repeat offender, recent disciplinary infraction, history of assaultive behavior, and I will check, and it says no family community support system. I recognize these states he has them, but we don't have one in the room, so I'm going to check that box. Does anyone else have anything else that they wish to offer? Okay, Mr. Thomas, the board has voted unanimously to deny regular parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest. But the important thing is, I hope you really hear our encouragement. We're not just playing games with you, so to speak. This board votes on cases every day. This board does routinely grant regular parole or home arrest. But we have to make some very hard decisions and look at each of these cases individually before we determine whether or not we feel that an individual can be safely transitioned back to the community. So again, please take our encouragement. You'll be certified to appear before the board again in approximately 1 year. As you heard during the discussion, you're early in your parole eligibility, So we look to see continued improvement with you, and certainly we would like to see some support from your community and family members. Do you have any questions?
No, sir.
Well, thank you for being so pleasant with the board. Thank you for being so direct. And we look forward to speaking with you again. If you could, please give the phone to your CO3. Thank you, Mr. Thomas.
Okay, thank you.
You have a good day.